We are in the midst of studying the subject of the home and family. We found in our lesson last week that marriage is a sacred institution that joins together a man and a woman. The husband and wife come together in holy matrimony, and each has their God-given duties to one another. Now, previously we considered the duties of husbands, who are commanded to love their wives, respect their wives, and support their wives. Now, today's lesson, I want us to consider the inspired apostles of Christ and what they taught regarding the duties of the wives, beginning with one that seems to offend many today, and that is submit to your own husbands. Defining the word submit, I think, is very important. We're going to start off with that. Turn to 1 Peter 3, verse 21. And notice, Peter here says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Now, in this passage of scripture, the Greek word is hupotasso, which is as close as I can get to being accurate here. But this is the Greek word. Now, here's what it means. It means to subordinate or to obey. Strong's Greek English dictionary defines it to be under obedience, in subjection to, or to submit self unto. Also, we have Mounce's word studies that defines it as to place or arrange under. That's coming from the etymology of the word that is translated submit or submissive. But it means to place or arrange under, to subordinate, and then uses 1 Corinthians 15:27 as an example. And the usage of the word comes out to bring under influence. Now, one other lexicon, and that is Mounce's, Lawanida. They define it as to submit to the orders or directives of someone. Now, an example, of course, would be Jesus submitting to the will of the Father. In John 6:38, you know, Jesus says, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So wives are to submit to their own husbands. What's significant here is they are to submit to their own husbands. This does not obligate them to submit to other husbands, but indeed tells them that they have a responsibility to submit to their own husbands. Now, how are they to do this? Well, they're to do it as the church submits to Christ in everything. In Ephesians 5, beginning verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, this, of course, presumes that the wife is with a husband that only calls upon her to do godly things, or things in accordance with what he would have them to do. Now, whenever they submit to Christ, they as the church submits to Christ, they are to follow his directives. They are to be under authority of their husbands. And notice the passage says, in everything. And, of course, as I mentioned a moment ago, presuming that is in keeping with the will of God, because we have a responsibility to obey God rather than men. Now, one other thing that I think is very important here. Husbands must not abuse their authority. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, Peter says, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Indeed, husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loves the church. And, you know, we go back to Ephesians 5:25. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now notice that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, wives are to submit to God. James 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God. Now, this is a general instruction to men and women alike. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wives also have a responsibility to be submissive to the government. Notice Romans 13, verses 1 through 5. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good. You will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, notice, subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Now, in 1 Peter 2, we have similar admonition, beginning verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, wives are submit to God, submit to government, but also wives are taught to submit to their masters. Now, this is assuming the economy that they had then that had servants and masters. Now, today, I believe we have a very close parallel between employers and employees, because we have the same type of obligation to an employer. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Notice the connection. Husbands, the wife be submissive to the husband. The wife is to be submissive to her master. Now, they're also to be submissive. Oh, I turned the wrong way. There we go. To their elders. In Hebrews 13:17, obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, Peter says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you. Now, this is very important. All of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I think one other one needs to be injected here, and that is be submissive to one another. That is the one introduced to us by Peter in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Be submissive to one another. We do not want to lord it over each other. Women should be in the same category as men there. That is being submissive one to another. In fact, Ephesians 5:21 puts it as submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, we go into another category here. Women are to submit without nagging, with gentleness and quietness. Now let's read 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Also, wives are to submit with respect, even as Sarah respected Abraham. Notice again, 1 Peter 3, going on down to verse 5, continuing where we just left off. For in this manner, in the former times, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Also, you might inject Ephesians 5 and verse 33 in this regard. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Now, this is a passage we looked at last week. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, with all these things before us, we want to consider just exactly what happens when wives fail to submit. Well, I want to introduce a thought for you. In Colossians 3 and verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. A failure to submit is not fitting in the Lord. In other words, it's not pleasing in his sight. Wives are to submit to their own husbands. Now, you say, well, what do you mean by fitting exactly? Well, we look down here at the word fitting in the Greek, and we find out that the primary meaning of it is to pertain to what is due, duty, or as was fitting, coming from Strong's. Jesus taught by example. In Matthew 20 and verse 25, he says, he called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see that Jesus, taught us the importance of doing what is fitting, and that is be of service to others. But let's see what else happens when the wife, wives fail to submit. Well, this next one, you'll know it. You've seen it, I'm sure. The family unit will often be in turmoil. We see it all around us in the world. To have social organization that is functional, you indeed must have some chain of authority. That is absolutely necessary. And the chain of authority is laid out for us in the pages of inspiration. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. And the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. What do we have here? We have the chain of authority laid out for us. God, Christ, man, and woman. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. In the family, it is God's will that the husband be the head of the wife and that the parents be over their children. Otherwise, what will happen? The family will be dysfunctional. God, in fact, I want you to note something here. If this happens, God will not be gracious to a dysfunctional family. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, notice, God gives grace to those who humbly submit. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to those who submit. He will not grant favor to those who proudly resist his will. Just the prayers of an abusive husband who mistreats and disrespects his wife, we know that they are hindered. But also the prayers of a wife who refuses to submit to her husband are indeed hindered. Sadly, lives are ruined when people won't listen to the teaching of Jesus and his apostles. Wives need to submit to their husbands, just as Christians are to submit to Christ and to one another. Now, let's look at another admonition to wives. Wives are to love your husbands. Well, just exactly how are they to love their husbands? Well, we find that it is to be with affection. The Greek word in Titus 2 and verse 4, where Titus is told by Paul, admonish the young women to love their husbands. The Greek word used here is literally fond of man. That is, as an affectionate wife. Strong's dictionary. Laoinida say pertaining to having affection for a husband, having love for one's husband, having affection for one's husband. These are all ways that it's used. But this affection is something that is taught and learned. If needed, you as a young woman can seek advice from a mature sister in Christ. Because look what Paul tells Timothy, or Titus. He says the older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, this is the kind of love that is with affection. But they are to love their husbands also with intimacy. And this is spoken of in regard to preventing unfaithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2, Paul writes to us, says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and each woman have her own husband." Intimacy is, as we've noted, is something reserved for marriage. And if we are rendering affection that is properly due, we won't have any unfaithfulness. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, going right on from where we just stopped. "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does." This is something that is very important in a marriage relationship. And Paul goes on in the same context in verse 5. And he says the only way that you can abstain from that mutual affection is with mutual consent for the purpose of prayer and fasting. Look at it with me. "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Just as husbands are commanded to love their wives, so wives are commanded to love their husbands. Now, if the original love has been lost, it needs to be relearned. It needs to be relearned. Finally, wives are also to manage the home, to act as homemakers. The Titus 2 and verse 5, Paul tells Titus that wives are to learn to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, and so forth. Now, let's look at this homemaker thing. The word that is translated, homemakers, is from a Greek word that means a stayer at home or domestically inclined. Allow Anita define it as one who works in the home or one who takes care of the home, a homemaker. Now, looking at Mounce's definition, they give us just a little bit different here, one who is occupied in domestic affairs. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, "Therefore I desire the younger widows bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Now, here the Greek word that's used is a word that means to be the head of the house or rule of a family or guide the house. According to Lau and Nida, it means to command and give leadership to a household, to direct a household, I think is the way it's in pointed here. But that is to be done as the head of a household, not the head of the house, the one who's given the responsibility, as Christ is over the church, the husband is over the wife. Okay, but This also is something that can be learned from Titus 2, 3, and 5. Older women are to teach this to younger women. But we also have wives as having responsibility as mothers. Notice the instructions. For the young women are to marry and bear children in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. The Greek word is to be a child bearer, to, or as Laonida put it, give birth or parent. The primary design of marriage is to produce a family. Now, should a young wife be unable to bear a child, adoption is a viable and a wonderful option that can be used. Now, I want you to notice something. The wife who is a Christian is a woman who submits to her own husband, loves her husband with affection, and a woman who manages her home and children. This is because she is a Christian first and a wife second. Thus, she gladly accepts all of the biblical injunctions given her as a wife. She looks to the Word of God to give her strength as she fulfills her duty. When a woman is a Christian, she is more likely to be loved and respected by her husband. And she's more likely to be the sort of wife that she should be. And she's more likely to have children that are the way they should be as well. In our next lesson, we're going to talk about duties of parents. We're going to talk about everything that's involved in raising children and knowing what to do and when to do it. We hope that we can have a good study together on that. But just like the first two lessons, I'm going to end with the Ten Commandments of Wives. Now, I'm going to begin this with a disclaimer. I copied this from somebody else. I didn't come up with this on my own. But I think that they are thoughts that are very pertinent and very worthwhile for all of us to consider. Now, I'm going to put them up here. The Ten Commandments of Wives. First commandment, expect not your husband to give you as many luxuries as your father has given you after many years of hard labor. You know, Paul learned how to abound and he learned how to be abased. He learned to accept with whatever he had. Amos 4:1 says, hear the word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, crush the needy, and say to your husbands, bring wine, let us drink. Of course, showing the folly of such. The second commandment, you shall work hard to build your home with the husband that you have and not fantasize about the one that could have been. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her hands. Number three, you shall not nag. Proverbs 17 and verse 15. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Proverbs 21 and verse 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Number 4. You shall coddle your husband and be a warm wife. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 through 5, we read it before. I want to read it in this context. You shall let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over his own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may be able to give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Number 5, and we're almost halfway through. Remember that the frank approval of your husband is more to you than the subtle glances of many strangers. Ezekiel 16 and verse 32. You are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. Notice 2 Peter 2:14. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Number 6. You shall not yell at your husband, but will be a gentle and quiet spirit. 1 Peter 3:1-4. Be submissive to your own husbands, even if some don't obey by word, that they observe your conduct, your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And of course, this is a way that a woman can set an example for her husband. But we move on now to number 7. Number 7, permit no one to assure you that you are having a hard time of it. Now, I want you to think about that one. We're talking about a third party who tells you as a wife, oh, you're sure having a hard time. And you'll start to believe it because it sounds like a way out to you. But that's not the way out. In Peter's first epistle, 5th chapter, verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You're not having a hard time any more than anyone else is. You need to stick with the business of being a wife and doing what God wants you to. Number 8, you shall not fail to dress up for your husband with an eye to please him as you did before marriage. Look in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, Song of Solomon 4, down at verse 9. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine is your love and the scent of your perfumes than all spices. Your lips, O my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Enough said on that one. Number 9. We're just about there. You shall submit to your husband from your heart and allow him to be the head of the household. Again, Colossians 3:18, wives are to submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, in this manner, in former times, holy women trusted in God and adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Ephesians 5 and verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Number 10, you shall assure your husband and others that he is the greatest man alive. Now look, Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now back to Song of Solomon again. Chapter 5 and verse 9. The daughters of Jerusalem, what is your beloved more than another, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? And then the Shulamite says, my beloved is white and ruddy, chief among thousands. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory, inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Hope these 10 commandments have been things that have sparked some interest and study for you, and that you will give them thought. They are available to you on the website. Easy to find. You can just go to our website and find the sermons on there, and you should be able to bring those charts up, and you can make copies of them or copy them off for yourself and give them more attention in your time that you have each day.